Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. One night in college, I needed a study break, and so I decided to read some online articles. And as I was scrolling through some pages, I found one that really caught my interest. It was entitled, "The Top 10 Most Famous Canadians." And I was curious to see who would be on that list. I figured someone like Wayne Gretzky and other hockey people would be on it. It is Canada, after all, and they love hockey. I wanted to see where he would be ranked on that list. And so I clicked on the article and began to read. And right away, he appeared at the number 10 spot. But I was intrigued, and so I started to keep reading to see who else is considered to be a famous Canadian. As I was going through, I saw people like Alexander Graham Bell, Alex Trebek, the first Prime Minister of Canada, Don Cherry, another hockey announcer, and then at the number 2 spot, I saw someone I had never heard of before. It said, Terry Fox, athlete. Athlete, I thought. I wondered who this guy could be. So being on my computer, I decided to Google him, and I found out he wasn't hockey-related, but in fact, he was a regular, ordinary marathon runner. But as I was reading, there was something pretty unique about him. Terry had been diagnosed with a rare form of bone cancer, and they had to amputate his leg quite high to save his life. They did it a few inches below his hip. And as he was getting treated, he was frustrated at the lack of care and the lack of cancer research being done at that time. He didn't want to sit home and do nothing. He was going to do something about it. So he decided that he would run across Canada from one side to the other on one prosthetic leg. He was going to raise money for cancer and get each citizen of the country to donate $1 towards cancer research. That would have raised $25 million. So to accomplish his goal, he would run a marathon's distance each day, so 26 miles, until he reached his goal. He started out in the east in St. John's in Newfoundland with little fanfare, but word quickly spread about his run, and he would be greeted by crowds of people who would be donating some money. By the time he reached Ontario, he would be a national hero and celebrity. But his run was not easy. As he started, people would honk at him and actually try to drive him off the road. He would have horrible blisters from his prosthetic leg, shin splints, and just as you can imagine, fatigue. He is running 26 miles a day, after all. But his run had to come to an end quite prematurely, for it only lasted 143 days before his cancer came back. You can see why he's considered to be a very famous Canadian. In Philippians 3, Paul compares our Christian life to a race similar to the one that Terry had done. Like him, the apostle says we have a reason to run, we have a goal to get to, and as we run, he says we keep our eye on the prize, to use the old cliche, and as we run, we are encouraged by others along the way. Our Christian life is like a race. Terry ran to raise money for cancer. And Paul has a reason to run as well, that is to live a Christian life. He says that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained this, or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, like Christ Jesus has made me his own. Jesus was the apostle's reason to run. The Lord had made him his own. The Greek word translated as "to make me his own" literally means to grab or to grasp and take hold of. And I find that to be a helpful imagery. Jesus had grasped and taken hold of Paul in that day as he was heading towards Damascus to slaughter and kill some Christians. The Lord had other plans for him. He pulled him from his previous life and pulled him from his previous ways. He pulled him out of sin and into his marvelous grace. The apostle was made the Lord's own through his death and resurrection. He belongs to Jesus. He is the Lord's. Therefore, Christ is the reason for his run. and his Christian life. The apostle wants to attain the resurrection of the dead and to be perfect. However, he's not perfect, and he makes that clear in our text. He says twice that he is not perfect. And in fact, he won't be perfect this side of heaven, and neither will we. But despite that, he runs on and pursues to make heaven his own, where he will be perfect, just like how Jesus had made him his own. He is pursuing eternity for that goal. Paul wants to live in his calling, serving the Lord and living in his faith. Paul isn't going to sit in the sidelines like Terry and do nothing. He wants to live in his faith and live in his calling. And like the apostle, we too have a reason to run to live a Christian life. Like Paul, we are made the Lord's own. We belong to him. We are prized, precious, and his people. We were made his own when he took hold of us in the waters of holy baptism, where he put his loving arms around us and gifted us grace and his Spirit. It was there that we started the race and began to head toward the goal that he's already won for us, heaven, eternal life. And it was at our baptism where he began his work in us to make us like his Son. We head to our heavenly home where we will one day be perfect, blameless, and without fault. What God declares us now in Jesus, we will be there. We live for our Lord and we run for him. We have a reason to run. But as you are in any race, though, you need to keep your eye on the goal. You need to keep your eye on the destination. Terry's goal was to raise $25 million and to reach the other side of Canada on one prosthetic leg. As Paul moves on towards the destination and goal of heaven, he writes this. He says, "Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on to the goal of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." The word for straining forward is also the same word in Greek used to describe a runner going hard for the tape, going hard for the finish line. You can just picture Paul the apostle with his head bent down, his arms in perfect L's, bursting forward, breathing heavy, focusing in on the goal. And as he pursues that goal, he's not looking back. He doesn't look back at the past in pride with his accomplishments. In verses 4 to 5, he listed some. He said he was circumcised on the eighth day, a pure-blooded Israelite, a Hebrew of Hebrews, a Hebrew speaker, a faultless Pharisee, and blameless according to the law. But Paul didn't look back at these impressive things because he found they didn't help his relationship with God, but rather they hindered them. They didn't earn him any favor in God's eyes, and in fact, they only distracted and misled him from the goal. He also didn't look back at his past sins and failures. Paul had killed Christians at one point in his life. Imagine the guilt that you would carry along with you, killing God's people. Imagine every time stepping into a pulpit to preach about persecution when at one point you were a cause of persecution. But Paul didn't have to look back at those past sins because he was forgiven in Christ and righteous and right with his heavenly Father. Looking back on those things only would have distracted and detoured him from the destination. So he kept his gaze fixed forward. He could only pursue the goal because of Christ. And it's the same for us, for when running, when living our Christian lives, don't look back. Many of you know that I coached both soccer teams at Central Lutheran this year. And so with my second year of coaching under my belt, I thought we would do some endurance training for the kids. And I can say they loved me for it. So after the first day of practice, I noticed some kids weren't running hard at all, and they would walk the whole time. So for day two, I was going to change that. So I would keep my fastest runner and give the kids a 30-second head start. And once the 30 seconds were up, I would send the runner out, and if they would pass you, that would be another lap. I thought that might help with some motivation. So once the kid would be sent out, the other kids would start to get a little panicked. They would look behind them to see if she is coming for them. And as they would do, some would trip over their own 2 feet. Others would bump into other kids. They'd actually run slower. Their strides would become broken. That's what they would be thinking about rather than pursuing to the goal. And in the Christian lives, it's the same thing. We're not to look back either. We don't look back at our sin and the shames that we've done. For the blood and cross of Jesus pays for and covers those things. We don't need to look back at the past wrongs that we have done or those that have been done to us. They only break our stride. They distract and detour us from the destination. Through faith in Christ, we're declared righteous and innocent of these things that we've done. They're not held against us, and they don't define us either. There's no need to look back. So we move forward in Christ and in His grace, heading towards that destination that He's won and opened up for us. We don't need to worry about that relationship with God. We don't need to look to ourselves or what we have done or what we could do like Paul. Rather, our relationship with Him is based on Jesus and what He has done. We don't have to look back and wonder if we've done enough, if we'll be okay with God. We are. Because of Christ, we can continue on towards the goal. Because of Him, we look forward, not back. Looking back does you no good anyways. And as the race goes on, runners are encouraged and strengthened by others as they continue. As Terry did his run, he would be greeted by people with signs and celebrations. Paul would be encouraged by other Christians and congregations, and we are encouraged as well. Every year at Concordia, the Lakeshore Marathon, Milwaukee's big marathon, would be routed through our campus. And so the pre-SEM group and the cross-country team would have a water station at our campus. And every year we would fill thousands of cups of water and thousands of cups of Gatorade. And we would do it over a few hour period of time just because different people would be reaching us at different points in the race. And so after some people had stopped going through for about half an hour, we decided that you would then begin to clean up and put everything away. One year after we had brought everything back inside, there was a girl who was still running, and she looked like a wreck. Her hair was a frizzy mess. Her face was red like a strawberry. Her body language said, "I'm exhausted. I'm embarrassed. I'm so far behind, and I want to give up." But walking with her, though, was her mother and her brother, who were encouraging her to continue on despite her frustration. Our God does the same for you and me. As we live our Christian lives and head towards the goal, the Lord doesn't sit or stand on the sidelines. He doesn't yell encouragements from afar saying, "You can do it." Rather, He's with us on the course, walking beside us like the girl's mother and brother. He puts His loving and strong hand on our back, encouraging us to continue forward in Him and His grace. He gives us brothers and sisters in Christ to do the same as well. He strengthens and cheers us with His word when we are tired, faint, and just feel like we can't continue on. And He gives us His supper to do the same. Luther once said, "There are so many hindrances and temptations of the devil in the world that we often become weary and faint, and sometimes we also stumble. Therefore, the sacrament is given as a daily pasture and sustenance, that faith may refresh and strengthen itself so that it will not fall back in such a battle, but become ever stronger and stronger. The Lord strengthens us through His body and blood that forgives us of our sins. He will get us home. He will help us make it to the finish line. He encourages and strengthens us on the way." As we look at Paul's analogy this morning, we really see how true it is to life. Our Christian life is a lot like a race. We have a reason to run. That's because Christ has made us His own. We have a goal that we're heading to, our heavenly home, where we will be with Him. And as we're on our journey there, we keep our eyes on the prize, our eyes on Him, and He strengthens and encourages us as we're heading home. In His name, amen. Now may the grace of God and the peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in and with Christ Jesus, the one who strengthens us. Amen.